What are the heavyset pawpaws? What's it like making music in Beckley, West Virginia? And what does American stank mean as a music genre? I sat down with the indie rock band's frontman, Tyler Evans, to get to the bottom of these questions and more.
Bright shining car, but I can't tell the make. This desert sand.
Well, I'm going to start off the interview by saying I want to know why you all are called the Heavyset Pawpaws. I mean, why are you heavyset? And also, why are you so sexist? I mean, you could be easily called like the Maw-Maws or the Paw-Maws or the Maw-Paws. So why just Paw-Paws?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good option, I guess. Dave Gravely and I, little Dave Gravely from down church, he and I got together a long time ago and started playing tunes. And kind of at the beginning of Heavyset Pawpaws, we were trying to come up with a name. It was just kind of he and I writing some songs. And so we figured that Pawpaws, we've got a lot of, you know, our Pawpaws are pretty slick. There are a lot of cool Pawpaws around the southern part of West Virginia, and I'd say all over the world. So we figured Pawpaws kind of have it, you know, figured out. Pawpaws are pretty cool guys. So we like that name. And also, I mean, if you look around where we live, lots of Pawpaws are heavy set, you know, a little portly. And we also thought the music that we started playing when the drummer Drew Bechera, when he joined us, it was all like pretty raunchy, kind of loud, like heavy stuff, you know, not like metal, but as far as rock and roll goes. So we figured Heavy Set Pawpaws was pretty good. But we do have a mama in the band, Katie Grimm, and our bass player, our very own Tina Weymouth.
Well, that's good. You have someone representing the Maw-Maws out there.
Yeah.
So you guys aren't named after, like, Pawpaws the fruit. You're named after Pawpaws, like, the paps and the dads out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. The dads' dads.
Wait, and where did you, like, I don't know, like, was that just the first choice for a band name? Was it like, oh, yeah, immediately?
Actually, we toyed around with a couple of things. Dave and I have been in a few bands together since like the end of high school, and we had a bunch of silly names. And so we were thinking about, I remember one of the other ones we were thinking about was Levon Helm, kind of like from, you know, the guy from the band, a play on his name, kind of like a helmet that would have belonged to Levon. So we didn't go with that. I can't really remember if we had a lot of other options at that point, but I think those were the two front runners, and Heavyset Pawpaws came out for the win.
Yeah. And and you guys have been together, I was trying to do research, like 5 years? Or has it been longer than that?
Dave and I have been making music for probably more like 8 years, just kind of like the two of us, whether we're in a band or just kind of writing songs just between the two of us. And then Heavyset Pawpaws, more like, I'd say, yeah, like 4 years, something like that. And Katie joined us after about the first year. So we're at the lineup now, and Chris joined us, I guess, not a year ago, maybe like half a year ago.
Okay. So would you call yourself the front man? Would Dave be the front man? Are you guys joint front men?
I guess I'm the front man. I'm the vocalist. And so they always kind of push me out front, you know, talk to people and make eye contact and tell really stupid jokes. I mean, I do that on my end, I guess.
Don't we all? And then what does Katie do? And what about Drew?
Katie, she plays bass, and Drew is on drums. Do you mean like in life, like as
yes.
hobbies?
No, I meant in the band. But I mean, what do you guys do in your actual time beyond the band?
Yeah, we've got jobs, and Dave and a friend of ours, Shane Pierce, they made a short film that actually they showed it at the Raleigh Playhouse in downtown Beckley, which is a really cool spot. And they talked to the proprietor there, and they had a little like mini festival. They had 3 one-act plays, and then their short film that they just did. So that's what Dave and Katie have been working on, that kind of thing. And I like spending time outdoors, hanging out with my dogs, and spending a lot of time in Fayetteville this summer, having some fun out in the woods.
Oh, you have dogs? What kind of dogs do you have? This is the part of the interview where I always ask the person like what kind of dogs they have. So this is pretty normal.
Yeah, I've got. Well, I guess they're mutts, but one of them. She's, I'd say, like a terrier and a hound mix, and she's real woolly. They actually got haircuts early in the summer. And then the younger one, he's, I think he's like a Rottweiler and Chow mix, so he thinks he's real tough, but he's like just a big, sweet, he's a sweet boy.
Oh, dogs. I was actually thinking about bringing my sheepdog in for this interview today. Like, I tend to bring him into the station with me, and he just hangs out, and he never says anything. Awesome. But, you know, I was like, I don't know. It's really hot, and maybe he just wants to stay inside instead of travel with me today. But
yeah,
I'm glad to see you're a dog person. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your guys' music.
Okay.
And how you guys were able to make it in Beckley. I assume that Beckley is still kind of your hometown location for making music.
Yeah, Beckley, and I think that maybe Fayetteville's kind of adopted us, so we like playing out there a lot too.
Okay.
People are more inclined to move a little bit out there, it seems like.
Do you know why that is?
Well, I think that I guess a lot of the folks that are out there because, you know, they come every summer. They want to be out there for, like, all the cool outdoor stuff. And so they've got a really positive mindset a lot of the time, and they're just kind of up for anything, you know, that's fun. And so that's a really cool, you know, way to be.
And how would you say, I mean, is the music community any different from Beckley to Fayetteville?
In Fayetteville, yeah, I'd say, yeah. I mean, have you heard of, like, the little festivals that Ace puts on?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I went and saw Del McCoury not so long ago, and that was awesome. And so they have, I'd say, maybe not a lot more bluegrass, but they've got some, maybe a little more bluegrass, maybe a few more jam bands. And it seems like they've probably got more going on, like more shows per week than what you can find in Beckley.
But you guys wouldn't consider yourselves, like, jam grass band. You're more kind of alternative rocky, wouldn't you say? Or traditional rocky?
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, we used to call ourselves Appalachian Stank.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I'd say that, I don't know, maybe like, I guess lots of things come into it. Like, we like a lot of old soul music. Like, we're big fans of Otis, my man, and Sam Cooke. And we've done a cover of Sam Cooke's, like, the first real cover that we, like, really sank our teeth into and kind of made it our own. And so we like a lot of, like, old soul stuff, and we like I like a lot of singer-songwriter stuff like Dylan and Cohen. And we like some blue-eyed soul stuff like Van Morrison and Bowie. And, you know, obviously rock and roll stuff, Zeppelin and T-Rex and all kinds of stuff like that, Talking Heads, like weirder stuff like that, you know?
Well, some of your older stuff, and older, I mean, like, when you release some singles like 2012-ish, they seem to have more of a kind of, if there's a way to describe Appalachian Stank, I feel like that would be more of it than, like, your newest release, Nine Genies in the Family Room. I feel like this new one is more kind of alternative surf rocky, has just kind of more as lighter, you know, a little bit more lo-fi, but it definitely feels more indie than your older stuff. Is there a reason for that?
I think that maybe when we first started, like I said, Dave and I have been in a few bands, and Drew Bashir, our drummer, he was in bands before as well. And so the stuff that Dave and I, we always call the old bands that we were in, we say that was more of a genre like a wuss rock maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like when we were playing around Beckley that people couldn't really get into it as much. So we were like, you know, we really need to gnash our teeth and kind of get mean a little bit for, you know, people to really respond. And so we started playing louder and wilder stuff, and it seemed like people were really responding to that. And so that was, you know, like, it was really inspiring and really cool. And then, so I guess after we made our first record, Cypress Cane, that was, like I said, a lot louder, kind of like wilder stuff. And so this newer one, I don't know if I guess, you know, we're just kind of growing and, you know, making music together. And so, you know, it's, I don't know, it's pretty exciting for us. I know that it's pretty cool you call it surf rock. That's neat. I've never thought about it like that. But yeah, maybe a little more like lo-fi stuff. We recorded this one in Dave's living room in Beckley. So that was, we were kind of maybe trying to, I guess, channel our inner Velvets.
Well, definitely, it definitely has a different feel than your older stuff. Like when I first kind of clicked in to hear what you guys had to offer, your older stuff was definitely more like Americana rock kind of vibe. Like it definitely was in your face. And this newer stuff, just, you know, clicking through, there's one song, would you call it Nine Gin? Is that what it was?
Nine Gin.
Yeah. And that song was great. Not saying your old stuff wasn't, but your new stuff was very, you know, kind of hits a different kind of feel. I thought that was cool. But where did the Nine Genies come from, though?
Well, actually, Dave and I, we were talking about, so the song Nine Gin, talking about, like, kind of like maybe built in there are, like, experiences with nine different people, maybe, like, some attributes, nine different people. And so we thought that would be kind of a neat name, Jin being like the name for like spirit. And so we thought that, you know, we didn't want to necessarily call that song Nine Genies, like, you know, the same as the title, because we didn't necessarily want it to be like title track. But we thought that, you know, there are nine songs on the record. And, you know, it was kind of a neat idea, like nine spirits. And like the cover art that our buddy Matt Smith did for us, he really did a nice job with that.
And is Matt based out of Beckley? Is he a friend with you all, or how did you find him?
Yeah, Matt's from Beckley, and he's a good friend of ours. He's actually in, I think it's called Chicoteague, in off of Virginia. It's a little island, and he's an awesome graphic designer. He's on Instagram as Matt Smith_makes, and it's definitely worth checking out. He's got some awesome stuff. A lot of like maybe kind of like sci-fi stuff that we really dig.
Ooh, yeah. I was gonna ask you, like, with the cover art, I was trying to dissect it a bit. You know, there's the apple, and there's a girl with little mice around her, and there's like all these little different portrait snapshots. Did you pick them out? Did Matt do it for you? How did you collaborate on that?
Yeah, Dave and I had the idea a while ago to maybe for the cover of a record, maybe have like, you know, as many songs as there are have that many tiles on the front. And so there are nine songs that fit, you know, 3x3 grid pretty nicely. So I came up with like nine little icons. So like first song is called Altered Beast. And there was an old video game on Sega Genesis called Altered Beast. And so that's why I drew up like a little Genesis controller. And so I came up with these little like kind of just like doodles icons and then gave those to Matt. And he just polished them up and, you know, did a really awesome job making them a lot sharper, a lot nicer looking.
So which one's your favorite then of the nine?
As far as the song goes, as far as the songs go,
I guess it could be both. I mean, maybe there's one that fits both those categories, or maybe there's two different ones.
Yeah, it's tough. I really like Lingerfeld's Key. I think that it moves nice. It's like kind of almost like a dance song, I guess, as much as a rock and roll song is a dance song. And Commoner Bogey is really cool. I feel like it's got a really nice groove that Dave and Katie and Drew came up with. So. Yeah, I like all of the songs, but those two really, I guess, just thinking about off the top of my head.
Be a puma, dust in the summer, dust for a skin double gray and hot. Dust in the summer, dust for a love like a bound silk knot. Be a boomer, sequence in the ether, sequence for your face.
Well, I kind of mentioned it before, but I want to get more of your thoughts on it. Just like the West Virginia music scene. You know, you've been in it for a while. Maybe you've seen some changes, maybe you haven't. What are your thoughts on it? What are your experiences like in West Virginia?
I think it's a good place to draw experiences from. Like I was saying, like, you know, just hanging out, bopping around in the woods, hanging out with dogs, hanging out with friends. I think it's a good place to draw some experience from. I mean, you know, like there are songs on there also from trips around, I guess, like over in Europe and other parts of the States. But I don't know. It's a beautiful spot that we live in. And especially when you can really take advantage of that, like over in Fayetteville or, you know, really just, I guess, there are trails everywhere, you know, you can get out in the woods. And so I think it's an awesome place for being inspired by, I guess, the surrounding the country. But as far as people getting into it, I think that what you're doing is incredible. I think that, you know, pumping up the West Virginia music scene, I think that's what it needs. I think that maybe in recent years, people are starting to care a little bit more, especially it seems like Huntington seems like a lot of those folks really give a hoot, so that's cool. Beckley, there are some folks who care. A lot of folks, you know, it's going to be a lot of bands that come out to listen to bands, especially, you know, when you're playing with, you know, a couple or like one or, you know, two other bands, and everybody's got friends that are in other bands. So I guess that kind of in Beckley makes up a lot of the scene. There are a lot of folks that come out who aren't in music though, which is cool. The Beckley Area Derby Dames, they're awesome. They've always like supported us, and we've played a lot of after parties for them after their bouts. So they're really cool. We have a lot of fun when they come out.
And Katie's part of it, right? She's one of the okay.
Katie's a jammer on the team, and she's super boss. I recommend anybody to go out and check them out because they're really putting on an awesome show too.
Yeah, our derby scene in West Virginia doesn't get as much press as it should. I feel like we kind of have a really cool underground scene with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, tons of cool teams, and yeah, it's really neat.
Well, I wonder, with you all staying kind of in the Beckley-Fayetteville area, did you ever think of, oh, maybe we should move locations to Charleston or Morgantown or Huntington to a bigger place to get more people, to get maybe a different production, you know, studio? Was there ever a thought in your head thinking, you know, we shouldn't stay here to make music?
I guess Beckley's just kind of home base for us. So we figure, you know, if Huntington's 2 hours away, that's a pretty quick drive. You know, we can make it out there. Charleston's an hour away, not bad. Morgantown only a few hours away. So, you know, it's not really like anywhere's going to be too far off. And as far as production goes, we actually went down to North Carolina to record at Duck Key Studios with Jerry Key. And he's a friend of ours. And he actually came up for the for Nine Genies and helped us record in Dave's living room. So it's kind of, I guess like I said, a home base, and you can go out from there. And but yeah, I mean, I think that going to Huntington and seeing shows or Charleston or, you know, anywhere, I think that it's a good opportunity to make some connections with, you know, some cool folks there, and hopefully, you know, make some friends and share some stages with folks that you wouldn't necessarily get to if you weren't hanging out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I've said this a couple of times before, but it seems like there's a good sense of community here and supporting one another when it comes to the bands. Like, they'll, you know, come out and see you and you come out and see them. If you need someone on your team for a night because, you know, maybe your, you know, bass player is out, you can grab someone else from another band. They'd be game to play. And that's nice to see that kind of just that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood.
Yeah.
Brother sisterhood.
Yeah.
So what else do I have for you then? So with the band, with your new record out, I assume you guys have been touring a little bit around the state?
Actually, we've been writing a lot, and because we've got a batch of probably 20 more songs that we want to record. So we've been, I guess, kind of focusing on maybe get a live show at, we were thinking about maybe like Burrito Bar in Fayetteville or maybe like something like the Empty Glass and do a live recording.
Ooh.
And guy that we've worked with before coming up and doing a live recording, because I guess, you know, we have a lot of fun playing live, and I think that some of our best stuff comes through when we play live. So thinking about doing something like that, and then maybe making a third record at the end of the summer. So kind of have like a trilogy almost, you know, like some kind of a little, I don't know, a little combination of discs, you know, from the spring, summer, fall of 1 year. We think that'd be kind of a neat idea. So we're playing in Fayetteville a couple times this summer, but we haven't really been around a whole lot after the release of that.
Maybe what you should do is make this into kind of like a clue game. So you have nine genies in the family room, and then next time you're going to have like four and a half princesses in the dining room, and then have, I don't know, like four jesters in the cupboard.
It's cool you say that, because we've thought about that before, kind of, you know, connecting all three records with something like that. And the reason that we named it, you know, just like Heavyset Pawpaws, it's kind of like, I guess, the colloquialisms around just the way that people speak and the way that it affects, you know, everybody in the area. So the family room, you know, maybe not everywhere, you know, it might be a living room or a den, but I feel like, you know, growing up, everybody always calls it family room. So we thought it gave it a little more of like a provincial flair, like mixed with the mysticism, which is we're really into that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, and I haven't thought of genies in a while. Like that it was nice you brought that up, because I was like, oh yeah, Robin Williams, rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you have, you know, new material you want to get out there. You want to maybe do some sort of live release, like maybe, I guess, as an EP of sorts, or like a couple of digital downloads or singles. What else do you guys hope for in the next year or so?
I mean, we'd really like to you know, play more in Huntington and Morgantown, and, you know, the bigger cities. You know, we've been to Huntington before. It was a lot of fun, and it was actually just it was before Katie joined. It was just three of us, and we had a lot of fun, and we were well received, even though we were, you know, we weren't sloppy, but it was like when we had first started out. So we were definitely loud and mean, and so people really dug that. And so we'd like to, you know, get back to those places and expand, and maybe, you know, Shepherdstown, places like that. And so it'd be cool to, you know, meet more bands around the state and play with more bands and, you know, play more stages.
Yeah. You mentioned Beckley before, and I was going to ask you, where are the places to go to in Beckley? Like, if you're into music, if you're into live, indie, alternative, rock, pop, folk, whatever, What are the places that a fan should go to in Beckley to get that?
Let's see. I guess Sir Walter's Tavern is actually downstairs from the Raleigh Playhouse. We were talking about it earlier. And they've started doing some stuff on weeknights and weekends. And it's a really cool place. They've got a lot of nice beers on tap. And, so that's a cool place to go and hear some tunes. We also, I guess, we used to play at Foster's a lot. And so that's, I guess, a place that, you know, folks play around here quite a bit. I'm trying to think of what else. There's a really cool place called 110 Marshall. That's it's only open every so often. It's more like a rent-it-and-play-it kind of place. Sometimes they have, like, drum circles. Sometimes they'll have, like, jazz or blues bands come in on a Friday night. And it's a really cool atmosphere. So we rented that out before, and we played there. We did, like, a Halloween show. And I don't know. I think that place is really cool.
And see, that's my fault for not being down there in Beckley enough to know. I mean, I know the Raleigh Playhouse, and we're even trying to plan something there in the next year for public broadcasting. But beyond that,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's really all I know, and that's something that I need a remedy soon.
Yeah. I'd say Fayetteville's got a lot of cool spots, like we talked about earlier. But, yeah, Beckley, I'd say those three. I'm trying to think of – I'm sure that we've played other places, but kind of – just not coming to my mind right now.
Of course, it's not coming right when you need it, and as soon as the phone
right
is
when I need it,
it's coming back. You're like, damn it, should have mentioned that. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's still pretty good. You gave a really good description too of that, so that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do I have for you then? Where do you guys see the music, or where do you guys see the band in, I don't know, like 5 years? What's the goal that you guys want to try to accomplish?
Oh, well, I guess 5 years, or maybe more like 35 years. Hopefully we'll like grow into our name, and we'll actually all like have big bellies, and, you know, we'll be heavy set pawpaws. And so we'd kind of, you know, I guess maybe we would make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know. But
that's great.
I don't know. I guess, in a few years, hopefully we'll be playing, maybe around probably Japan and Germany. No, I'm just kidding. I'd say something like... hopefully East Coast, at least. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to stretch out a little. I don't know. We dig our songs a lot because I guess we're all narcissists at heart, right? And so it'd be cool, you know, for more people to hear the stuff and more people to be able to sink their teeth in, you know.
Okay, so is there anything you want to talk about for the band? Is there maybe a funny story or a fan experience that you think deserves a little airtime?
I think one of the coolest experiences was when we played at, I think it's a little place called Bruno's in Charleston.
Yeah.
And it was right after the Beckley girls played your Charleston team.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was a derby bout. And after that, we all went, and there was an after party at Bruno's. So we all played. We were playing. It was a lot of fun. And all of a sudden, everybody started chanting drum solo. And so our drummer, Drew Bechera, he didn't even, like, it was just like a split second later, he's like launches into this incredible drum solo. And it was, and what made it even better was that one of the girls on the Charleston team, she had like these batons on, and she was like spinning these batons, and on the end of them, they were on fire.
What?
And she was like spinning these around behind Drew's head, and everybody was just kind of like in trance. And it like all of a sudden became sort of like this crazy like circus act or something. But his drum solo was just, it was just insane. It was amazing. So that was a cool experience for us, and I think for everybody there.
Yeah. Did you think after that night, like, oh, we need to start doing this more with our act? Like, we need to get, like, fire breathers. We need to get, like, clowns.
I don't know that we – I think we don't really want to go for a gimmick, I guess. You know, we want to let the music, you know, speak for itself. I don't know. The other night, we brewed some green tea and served it at the end of one of the sets. So that was, I think, you know, more relaxing for people.
That's adorable. I like that. Why don't bands do that? They could have like little
bands
tea parties. I mean, you guys do it. Why don't other bands do it too? That's adorable. Whose idea was that?
That was Dave and I. We wrote this song, and it was kind of an ambiguous song about a teacher that I had in college, and also about how we just really love tea. And so a lot of the lyrics are about, it's kind of ambiguous whether it's like a love song for this professor or maybe a love song for just tea in general. And so so if Kawada Sensei is out there listening, it could be for her, or it could just be for green tea.
I love that. That's awesome. Oh, do you have any other kind of like ideas moving forward that could rival the tea and the fire? I mean, I know you said no gimmicks, but if you do it once in a while and it's a different sort of thing, that's not a gimmick.
Like something you do every time, it's not necessarily a gimmick. I guess it's just kind of fun, you know? So I don't know if we've really come up with anything else besides, I always try to encourage all the young ladies, or, you know, young gentlemen, in the crowd to, after we play a set, I say that, you know, our drummer Drew is a great smoocher. And if anybody wants to come give him a smooch, that, you know, they could do that. And, you know, so he racks up some smooches every once in a while.
Does he ask for them, or do you just force them on him? Like, oh, you see that guy back there? He really wants, you know, some kisses. No. Forget the fact that he's shaking his head and he's angry at me right now. He really wants it.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like that.
You're trolling him. That's what you're doing. You're trolling him.
But he loves it.
Or he's too afraid. It's like Stockholm syndrome.
He's become like a, you know, he's become a sex symbol.
He's the sex symbol of the heavyset pawpaws.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's, yeah. Have you looked at pictures? He's got like Bradley Cooper eyes.
I know Chris, and I obviously know that there's a girl in the group Katie, but other than that, I can't distinguish, you know, you three. And I blame you for all being good looking in a way that is not distinguishable.
Go on. Well, Drew's the tallest boy. Dave's the boy with the beard, and I've got glasses. I don't know if that helps or not.
Okay, yeah. So you're the four-eyed geek. I got it.
Oh, thanks a lot. Cool. Yeah. All right. So this interview's over, right?
It's okay. I wear glasses too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, cool. No, it's okay. Okay. Well, those were awesome stories. Then I never would have expected fire and tea to be associated with the band, and now I will forever do that. Is there anything else I should keep in mind, or anything you want to mention about your record, about, you know, the band, whatever?
The record, both of our records, Cypress Cane and Nine Jeans in the Family Room, they're both on Spotify and iTunes. So Spotify, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's free, and it's probably in your pocket, like in your phone right now. So anybody can check that out. And also, if you would be a peach and tell your buddy Larry that we will play on Mountain Stage sometime, but only if he can beat three out of the five of us in thumb wrestling.
I will be a peach and tell him that. Oh, God. No, I can't wait to tell him that. I'll let you know what he says.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Well, cool. Okay, before I go, though, I do want to ask you, can you define Appalachian stank? Give me, like, a Webster's Dictionary definition for it.
Appalachian stank, root words, Appalachian, you know, of the mountains in this region. Stank is usually it's going to be past tense of stink. But in this version, it's just going to be, you know, the way that people sometimes around here would say stink, like that stinks. So it's going to be Appalachian stank is hopefully a mixture of some root stuff, soul music, because we really dig some soul, loud, nasty rock and roll, Motown, and, you know, some classic old rock and stuff like Fats. And I don't know, I guess just kind of maybe it's our own brand of Americana. Who knows?
That was good. At the beginning there, I was like, oh, man, he's really going into the Websters right there. And Miriam and Webster would be totally proud of what he's doing.
Yeah, they'd be pumped.
They would be totally into Appalachian stank. Heavyset Pawpaws released Nine Genies in the Family Room this past summer. To hear more of their music, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening. Always thought hard as name, never caught.